Well, I say good morning, and I greet you in Jesus' name. Pray for us. Our knees are trembling. But it's a blessing to be here. Last night I was woke out of my sleep, and the rain was pounding against the house, and the winds were blowing, the storm was raging, things started flying around, and the house stood firm, thankfully. And I was reminded that though the wars may rage and the storms are raging, the winds are blowing, and certainly we live in those times, but the house can stand firm if it's on the rock of Jesus Christ. Whatever God puts his hand over will not be moved. And I'm very thankful today for God's hand upon our lives. I'm just going to share a song that we sang this morning first, and then we'll need to share first, and then Becky, then myself. But this morning we sang 491, "To Strive Aright When God Doth Call." And this is the desire of my heart. It says, "To strive aright when God doth call, when he draws thee by his grace, cast off all that would enthrall thee and deter thee from the race. Wrestle till thy zeal is burning and thy love is glowing warm. All that earth can give thee spurning, half love will not abide the storm. Perfect truth will love to follow, watchfully our master's ways. Seeks not comfort poor and hollow, looks not for reward or praise. Soldiers of the cross, take courage, watch and war mid fear and pain, daily conquering sin and sorrow, till our King o'er earth shall reign." Amen. My desire, my prayer is for our family is that we would strive aright when that God hath called us, and that we would continue the race.
Good morning. "And as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation." 1 Peter 1:15. So, as you all know, I recently got baptized, so I'm not going to give my whole testimony, but I'd like to say that it's been a blessing to continue to grow in the Lord and to see improvement in areas of my life. I also would like to thank all the girls, young ladies, whatever you consider yourself, for welcoming me and the friendship that you've shown me. I'd also like to say that I'd like to commit myself to the body. If you see anything in my life that doesn't line up with the Word of God, please tell me.
Well, I also want to say good morning, as Arlen shared that I'm a little nervous up here. But it's been a real blessing for me to look back across my life and see where I was and what God has done for me. I grew up in Grayville, Indiana. My parents are Lester and Amanda Schmucker. I was the oldest of 9 children. I have 7 brothers and 1 sister. I grew up being a very selfish, controlling child, was disrespectful to my parents, was involved in many ungodly things in my childhood years. I lied and cheated in school. Going on into my teen years, I remember being scared as the time came closer to being 16. As is the tradition, that's when you started leaving weekends and going with the youth. I didn't know what I was going to do. The supper bunch was just starting, but that was consisted of like older dating couples. Not very many young people were there at that point yet. My first weekend, I went with one of my cousins to the supper bunch. The next weekend, I went with some of my other cousins to a party. I remember having a very disgusted feeling that night after I got home, knowing that it just didn't feel right, and I didn't really enjoy being there with that atmosphere. But as time went on, I found myself going to parties more and more. After a while, it didn't feel so bad. And I started enjoying it. And that's what I started living for the weekends. Then it was the first swallow of alcohol. It didn't taste good, but I liked how it made me feel inside after a while. I also enjoyed country music very much, and that soon was my thought life. That's what kept me going through the week. When I was 18 years old, I started dating Arlen. We did not have a pure courtship and dated for 4 years. During that time is when there was a great stirring in the community. Arlen's family became involved, so through them I started hearing truth. At that point in my life, I pushed it back, and was not willing to hear much. I didn't like what they said or what I heard and the direction it seemed to be going. Over time, I began to enjoy being with them and hearing what they had to say. I started searching things out for myself a little. I enjoyed the peacefulness I felt when I was with them, and I started attending the community singings. From there, I started going to Bible studies with Arlen. I didn't go every time because my parents did not approve of the decisions and choices I was making, which created much strife between my parents and myself. And then as I was reading, I would learn new truths and thought that my parents should see that as well, just the way I did. I tried pushing it on them, which only built bigger walls and created more strife. It came to the point I did not talk to my dad much until I was ready to leave the house for the weekend or to go tell him where I was going. I was teaching school at that time and had much static because of the choices I was making. I was at the point in my life where I knew what I needed to do but wasn't willing to give it all up. And well, as you know, God has his ways of helping us to come to that point in our lives. I got fired from my job at school as being a teacher because of Bible studies and not shunning those that were excommunicated. I remember the helpless feeling that day. It just felt like I had lost everything, like God was just taking everything away from me. I didn't have a good relationship with my parents, and the friends I once had weren't really my friends anymore because of the choices I was making. And it just felt like I was just at the bottom. And the only way to look was up. And that's where God wants us. With nowhere to turn to but to him. It was through that time that I became surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and his will for my life. I remember the peaceful feeling that brought to my heart being completely surrendered and knowing that my sins were covered by the blood. I then started going with Arlen to church every Sunday. Before that, I had occasionally visited with him, or like going with him a little before that. Then we got married on May 11th, 2006. We were married in the New Order Church. That was also a very rough time in my life and created much contention between my parents and myself. My parents did not come to our wedding, but maybe an hour at the very end of the day. Going into marriage was a little rough in the beginning because of being untaught, our courtship years, and not understanding how to communicate as husband and wife. I praise the Lord today. He has done a mighty work in our marriage. And I'm excited to say that as the years go by, the better it gets. So a few other things God has shown me was where I had much bitterness toward my parents that I needed to repent of. And until I repented of that, he couldn't work in their lives and in their hearts. And I rejoice in the work God is doing in that relationship as well. Today I have a better relationship with my parents than I had in all my growing up years. And then also of having a believer's baptism. The Bible says to repent, believe, and be baptized, which I know that wasn't the way it was done the first time. So I had a believer's baptism. It was done at Martin Anna with a large group of us being baptized. I don't have a date for that. That's just a little part of my story. We've had many valleys and mountains to climb, but God has been good and faithful to us through it all. I'm also very thankful for the mercy God bestowed upon my life in my sinful years. I just want to take this time to thank each of you for the blessing you've all been to our lives over the past year, and would like to commit myself to the body as a member. I want to open my life to you all and ask that if you see me erring from the path, that you would come to me in love, and I want to be willing to receive it. I ask that you pray for me as a mother and wife. I'm not perfect, but I'm striving to press toward the mark. Just a few verses is, in 1 John is 1, is this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say then that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And also, in 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Or just say, God bless you to each one of you.
I would say that it's been a tremendous blessing, as Steve mentioned in the beginning. Our relationships go back a long ways, at least for some of us, it goes way back. Others, we came together as brothers in Christ for me, it was about 14, 15 years ago. And this past year has been a blessing in reuniting relationships and also learning new ones. I do want to say thank you for receiving us and the welcome that we've received here. And I also echo what Juanita said to you young sisters. For helping Juanita to feel home here. As far as my life, there's a few verses in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 3. Where Paul says that in the first couple of verses there, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That was my life as a young man. Is at least in my own eyes, I was a very self-conscious, righteous little boy. I mean, I did whatever it took to appear good on the outside. I went to church faithfully, even though I had no desire to go there. I went to singings. I did whatever it took to stay out of trouble because I didn't want to be caught. And that was one of my vows that I said as I turned 16 and became a member of the church, that I will never be pulled in front of church in a public way, because that would be such an embarrassment to me and to my reputation. Because on the outside, things looked very well. However, I was involved in every sin in the book, and that's not stretching it. On the outside, most would have never known it, but inside, my life was a miserable wreck. There was so many things that I was involved in, and I would say that I hated the thought of being, I hated myself for giving into those things, but yet I loved the pleasure of sin so much that there was no desire within me to, or no power within me to overcome. Many times, over and again, I tried to cure my own self. By power of my own flesh, I would make promises. I would vow to God that I would never do it again. It was all of those things that I'm going to fix my own life. But no matter how hard I tried, I failed again and again and again. And I knew all that I was involved in. I knew it was very evil. Yet I didn't understand my condition. I was persuaded that if I could stop doing all the evil things in my life, then I would be good. But I couldn't. I couldn't stop doing evil. I mean, I tried many things. I mean, even cutting off the flesh at times. I won't go here. I won't do this. But it just over and over again. It seemed the harder I tried, the deeper into sin I went. What I didn't understand was that God was seeing the fruit of a sinner condemned to hell. And he knew that if he could cleanse my heart, that I would be healed. But my thoughts was, if only I could stop. And my goal was, as a young man, my goal was set out there that, you know, Dad was about 40 at that time, and he seemed to have life altogether, and there wasn't any struggles anymore, or at least that's what it appeared to. And so when I turned 40, then, you know, my life will get fixed up, and all of these fleshly desires are going to go away. Well, praise God, he didn't wait till I was 40, because I'm still not there. So it's been of course, then, you know, I turned 16. At that point, a slave to sexual immorality. That was probably started about 12, 13 years old, and went on into conversion, probably a year or so into conversion before I found complete victory over some of those sins that I was involved with. After 16 years old, I indulged in sports. I put all of my effort and energy, every spare moment, every opportunity I had, I went to the basketball court and I was playing ball. And it was to find a fulfillment in my life, but it would never satisfy. The more I played, the more I needed to play. The harder I strove, the harder I had to. So in that time, being involved in all of those, sexual immorality was probably the biggest vice in my life. Alcohol and tobacco, I did those things simply because of peer pressure on weekends. During the week, I just never had a desire for it. It never tasted good. I didn't like it. But because of That's what everybody did. That's what we did. So after many tries, and at 18 years old, we started dating. Obviously, then sin just went deeper and deeper and deeper. I remember many a night traveling home from Becky's house, and in my mind, something has to change. We can't continue to live like this. And hating the very thought of what we was doing. And stating in my mind that next weekend it's going to be different. Next weekend's going to be different. But the weekends come and they went, and everything was the same. So after many tries to clean up my life, I finally realized that I need a greater power to have victory. I can't do it of myself. By this time, I was so tired of my life. I was tired of all the evil things that I was doing. Sin had a dominion over me, and it controlled me in my thoughts, the things that I did. I was to the point that I don't know that I had any pure thoughts. But I was so sick and tired of it. It was empty. It was useless. But yet we would, I would continue to go back toward it. I was desperately searching for something different, but not in a public way. But something had to change in our lives, and I knew what had to change, but I didn't know how to change it because we had tried. The two of us together have tried many things to clean up our courtship days, but it didn't work. Then God sent revival in this community. At first, I rejected it, yet knowing that it was what I needed. I knew that was the answer to my life, but there was no way that I was going to be a part of it. It just wasn't, it was too radical. I didn't want it. However, during that time is when conviction started to come upon my life. Guilty feeling. That I couldn't bear anymore. Before this, yeah, I felt ugly and I hated it. But feeling guilty for doing it, not necessarily because everybody did it. So revival started. Revival came, and it helped me to understand and that unless I repent, I will spend eternity in hellfire. And before this, many nights on my way home, when I was all alone, I would tell God sorry, and I would promise that I'll never do these things again, only to fail. And it was only confession. I was only confessing and telling God, you know, hey, this is what I did, and, you know, I'm very sorry for that, and I won't ever do it again. I don't know the dates and times of all these, but Mervin was converted. As far as I know, maybe the first one in our family, I'm not sure. Well, he began reading his Bible, and he read it faithfully. I personally thought it was quite ridiculous that you have to read your Bible every morning. He had his favorite place behind the stove, and he'd read his Bible. And I was like, that's not necessary. I mean, I know we need to straighten our lives out. I know we need to do good, but it's not necessary to go to that extreme. And I remember that one night we was at, had some family reunion at Menlo Marthy, and I was playing basketball and obviously enjoyed the sport, putting all my energy into it. And that night I was playing, I pulled my right arm, my right shoulder out of socket. I am Mervin, Dad and Mom and Mervin went with me to the hospital, and he sat behind me and he said, "Arlen, maybe God allowed this, you quit playing ball." He didn't know that, but I didn't set very well. But it was, because I don't think I've played a game of ball since then. Not competitive anyways. So after Mervin started reading his Bible, I had purchased a Bible right after I was baptized. I purchased the German English Bible and I set it on my shelf. It stayed wrapped in plastic for for many years. I don't know, I guess I just thought it was good to own a Bible. But after he started reading it, then I started to open my Bible. And I started to read it, and in there I found that I must repent and not just confess. So I remember one night, after I left Becky's house, I was on my way home, and conviction was heavy. The guilty feeling was ugly. So I turned some music on. We're just going to drown this thing out. We're going to forget it. And I was listening to music for a little bit, and that just didn't bring fulfillment. That didn't do anything for me. I just reached over and I shut it off because it was just, it didn't do anything. And it was then and there that I told God, and I repented of my sins. And I said, God, I want to serve you with all my heart. And since then, our life has never been the same. After that, Becky and I started reading our Bibles together and spending time in prayer on weekends. And I just remember leaving her house on weekends and having a free heart. And going on the way home and just thanking the Lord and praising Him. My heart was free. It's what I longed for from 12 years old upward. I knew the things that I just hated it. So that's the type of person I was. That's the testimony of a sinful, selfish man. But then Paul continues in Philippians chapter 7. He says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am, which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, a note to you as brothers, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Today I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I will stop reading there. But my goal and my desire is from henceforth, after conversion, that I would, as Paul said, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended for, that I could catch hold of that for which Christ has caught hold of me. And so after conversion, I'm a black and white man. I don't like gray areas. And so when I do things, I want to do it. It's the right way. I don't like this. Well, maybe it might be. It could be. I don't like that. So if I at times become overbearing, please be merciful, but help me in those areas. So in 2006, we were 6 months as Christians approximately. We got married. As Becky said, the first three and a half years of our married life was very rocky. I was a selfish man. There was a lot of self in me that had to die yet. Even though I'd surrendered my life to the Lord, there was a lot of me that needed to go. And at some point here, the believer's baptism was introduced to us as new Christians. That was something that I struggled with. I rejected it. I did not want it. I didn't think it was necessary. The argument, the thief died on the cross and he wasn't baptized and he was good enough. And so I don't need to have it. Here again, there was no peace in my heart. I fought this thing and I fought with it. And Becky and I talked, but there was no peace. And I knew what I needed to do, but I was very unwilling to do it. During this time, the New Order group then split. That brought some struggles in my heart of church life. However, one night when Becky and I were out feeding the calves at that point, we was waiting on the milk to mix, and I went over to Becky and I said, "You know what we need to do, right?" And she said, "We need to be baptized." And I said, "That's right." And we obeyed the Lord and we were baptized, as she said. So we had in 2007, I was ordained in the New Order Church. In late 2008, the beginning of 2009, the New Order Church dispersed. I'm just a young Christian here, and now I had no idea what to do for church life. In fact, during this time, I took a trip and we went to Texas to visit my brother Nathan. But in my heart, I had no plans to ever attending a church again. I had enough with the struggles of church life that I was going to live at home and just me and my family have church. But on the way home from Texas, I was listening to a message from Mo Stoltzfus. And he spoke into my life through that message, and he persuaded me that you need to find a brotherhood. You need to be a part of a fellowship. And so we went home from there, and I pursued a brotherhood. I pursued a church, and we visited many places, but we just didn't feel the leading of the Lord at any place. And one Sunday morning, just out of I don't know for why or what reason, we went to Cuba for church. And when we walked out of the doors that day, we said, "This is where the Lord wants us." And at that point was probably one of some of the lowest years of my Christian life. But when we attended Cuba as young Christians needing needing a lot of help, they took us in, they ministered to our needs, they helped us, they supported us. And I think that was the best years of my Christian life. They had what we needed. I think it was the wilderness that God had to take Arlen through. And he needed to break Arlen. He needed to take me to the bottom of the barrel. And I would say, brothers, he's still working on that. After attending there for 5 years, I was called to the ministry there. In those 5 years, I had a lot of learning to do, a lot of humbling to do. And during that 5 years, the Lord brought Laron into our lives because he needed to show me a lot more things in my life. I was a very selfish man. So we attended there for 12 years. And I would say those years were a tremendous blessing in our Christian growth in our life. They've established some convictions that I would never have today if it wasn't for that. And now we're here. This is another part of the journey. Our lives are surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I don't know what he has in store for us. But for this moment, we're here. And I do want to commit myself to this local body. My desire is to be a building block, not a stumbling stone. I also open my life to you all so you can speak into my life. And here a couple of weeks ago, John preached a message on drift. And a thought struck me as I was pondering these things, that only you as brothers and sisters can keep me from drifting. Because you're going to see my drifting way before I'll see it myself. And so my plea is, as I make a commitment here, that you'll make a commitment to me and say that you'll tap me on the shoulder when you see me erring from the way. Because sometimes I don't see myself as God sees me. Our family is a work in progress. As I read to you, we have not yet attained. We're not there yet. But we're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So please pray for us as a family that we could be continue to be used of God. I know I didn't give you all the details of my testimony there. My life is open. If you have questions, concerns, please come ask me. I want to hide nothing. So may the Lord bless you all, and thank you for listening. And I would say this as a side note, that if there's anyone here today and you're not fully surrendered to the will of the Lord, living in disobedience to your parents, that was my life, covering up your life by this or that or them or those, just repent and follow Christ. You'll never regret it. You'll have a peaceful heart. So may the Lord bless you all.